welcome to the Age of Vision Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark, where we learn to accept living in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.tv, we relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We share information about the facts of radiation and the nuclear industry. We discuss vital current events and explore the roots of social engineering that has caused so many of our beloved friends and family to intentionally ignore the most critical, catastrophic event in human history. We interview activists who do the hard work to discover the truth and get the word out. We disclose the NRC's daily nuclear alerts and take phone calls from our listeners in an effort to fully engage on all topics that are changing our world. We explore exactly how radiation affects our bodies and minds to dissipate your fears and face the truth. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear. We share information on how to take your life back from the systems intent on enslaving our bodies, minds, and souls. The Age of Vision Radio Show will create a venue that all will choose in order to actively engage to save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Morning, UCY.tv radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark from the Age of Vision Radio Show. I want to thank you for listening. This is the end of my first week on this radio show venue, and I really appreciate all of your kind comments and your support, and actually all of your suggestions on how to improve the show. I think it's really awesome that we're engaging. What I am going to do on Fridays is make Friday the call-in. You can give me a call at 718-717-8296. And I am going to be repeating that number. I don't know how many people actually listen to this, and I am not sure how often people will be hearing this, but I'm going to be repeating this number throughout on Friday, so you'll have to bear that witness, because I really do want to engage people. I especially want to engage the youth. I encourage young people who are listening to this to call in. And one of the things is, you don't have to be an expert. You don't have to feel like you need to know all the answers. What I really want to engage in is what's going on in your mind about the social engineering, and what's going on in your hearts about living in the age of vision. And we wake up every single day understanding that Fukushima is raging out of control. So the other group of people that I would really love to engage is all those anti-nuke activists who were massively, massively important in stopping the nuclear industry from expanding in the 80s and 90s. Their work was very effective. They held them at bay. They at least made the nuclear industry kind of go underground, you know what I mean? So they weren't so in your face. And, it's really important. I want to understand, A, why the anti-nuke activists of 20, 30 years ago really refused to just get up and get active again. I have a friend of mine who was very instrumental here in Oregon stopping nuclear from coming. He is an acupuncturist. And I honestly can't understand why he's not actively engaged. He just feels like, well, I've already done that. But, you know, they spent a lot of energy in the 80s and the 90s stopping this industry. And their work was really effective, except now when we have the most catastrophic event on our planet, they're choosing to just do nothing, and I'm nonplussed by it. So I'd really love to talk to people about that. So the number again that you can call in is 718-717-8296. That number is 718-717-8296. So let me move on with some ideas that I'd like to share with you. One of the things I haven't done this week, and maybe I ought to do this, I think most of us go to ENE News and share the information about, not just the headlines, but one of the things that I do, and I think, I don't know how effective it is, but I read these articles on ENE News, like the latest headline that says, "We don't know what's going on in the Pacific. Many ill baby seals being abandoned, dozens of walruses found dead, dying whales, birds, and fish, unprecedented happening. Experts, it's been a very unusual mammal year. I'm really worried, very concerned." So what I do, and I would encourage anybody else to do this, is I actually click on the links when ENE News provides us links to all these stories of where they've popped up around the media, internet, and I think they're all internet media things that we can take. But I actually write the authors of these stories. I look in those articles. Most of the time, they will have an email address for the authors, the journalists who are regurgitating basically the bullshit. Like, we don't know what's happening. What I find astounding is that a journalist would actually be willing to quote that statement instead of pressing the people that are saying it. Like, why don't you know what's happening? Like, instead of just saying they have no idea what's happening, where's the journalism? Where's the hard questions? And that's what I write them a letter and say, you know what? It's your job as a journalist. Journalists are a very important part of the picture of exposing the lies of the status quo. And it is really important that we get to the scientists, and it's really important that we get to the journalists and encourage them to just step out and, push against the lies and the propaganda. Part of what happened in World War II, where they exterminated, they made it like a science, extermination. And what happened was people were so concerned with their happy little lives that they just turned a blind eye. They were so scared of the military force there and the police force there that they quivered and said nothing while their neighbors were thrown in jail. And not only jail, but were exterminated, taken off to death camps. And now what's happening is we have an entire culture of people doing that. So those of us listening to this radio show are the ones who are not ignoring it. We are the ones who are actually understanding that there's something very critical going on. And so I encourage all of us to take action towards these people, like the people that these journalists that are writing these articles and just asking us to just scratch our heads and say, we have no idea why this is happening. Well, we do know, and it's not enough to post on Facebook or tell your friends. That is really just not enough. We are in a critical state, and it's kind of sad. And this is where I hope that the youth will actually engage on this radio show, because my goal here is to inspire people to want to live and inspire people to continue living and to continue living with what I call verve. You know what I mean? Like, you wake up and you're just ready to go, to thrive, not just survive. We need to go from survivors to thrivers. And the way we do that is through action and deciding that we are worth it. And that we are not going to listen to the lies that no matter what, the Illuminati, the powers that be, whoever you want to call the evildoers, that they have too much power, and that we all better just hunker down, get our guns, get our food, get our water, and wait for the collapse. Collapse doesn't happen instantly. Collapse happens one little incremental bit at a time. And while we may have a shift to the system, like a cat, like an earthquake, that's kind of how I see the economic collapse. They're kind of like an earthquake. They shake the system really hard. Everything stops, and sometimes the pipes bust and things break. And we saw what happened in Japan. We had the tsunami, the whole place went to shit. But guess what? 5 years later, people are moving on in Japan. And guess what? This is really for us listening in the States and in Europe and around the world. It's shocking for us that the people in Japan are just willing to live in the radiation. That, I mean, how many millions of people live in Japan? That all those people don't just stand up to the machine and say, hey, you know what? Those spewing nuclear power plants in Fukushima need to be ended. But then again, that's where we get back into the social engineering. So I am encouraging everybody to not just read these articles on ENE News and on the Hill and at truthdig.org, truthdig.com. I think it's truthdig.com or .org, but it's a really great online newspaper article that has a lot of really good articles there. They don't always post on nuclear, but they are one of the sources where they do have people, journalists who actually think and actually have critical conversation about this. But even them, I've had to write to them a couple times because they've regurgitated some nuclear bullshit, you know. So let me give you the phone number once again. I would love to hear some call-ins, and please bear with me because I am going to keep repeating this. It's not easy to get people to pick up the phone and make a phone call to someone they don't know and be on the air. But and I'm not even sure if that were to happen, I could figure out how to get it done. This is the first day I'm doing this. So let me give you the number again. It's 718-717-8296. And, please do call in. We're going to have call-ins on Fridays. So one of the things that I always really do like to do is talk to you about the NRC notification reports, right? The common theme among these notification reports, this really kind of blows me away, is these fixed gauges, the gauges that they have, constantly break. I mean, like at every single day, there are reports of gauges breaking, nuclear radiation being unable to be retrieved. So I saw one today that talked about iridium, and I'm like, and of course the NRC said they were unable to capture, it seemed like an awful lot to me. I think it was 39 curies of radium one, I'm sorry, 39 curie iridium, IRIDIUM 192. So they were unable to retract that. And then they summarily said that there was no harm. That's their usual statement, no harm, no danger to anybody. So I decided, since I'm not a chemist, to go look at what happens with the iridium 192 for the cancer treatments. They use it in cancer treatments. It's actually, I guess they're able to use it for to kill cancer. I guess you kill cancerous cells by making them more cancerous. I don't understand the process. Definitely not a scientist here, folks. So anyways, the first thing that came up, I went to this website called chemistrylearner.com because I am a basic chemistry person. I know very little about it, as you could probably tell after listening to my YouTubes. So one of the things it says is very little is known regarding the toxicity of iridium compounds. This is due to the fact they are used in extremely small amounts. However, the radioisotopes of iridium are known to be quite dangerous. This can be said for 192 iridium when the radioactive iridium isotope accidental exposure can lead to injuries. High energy 192 iridium gamma radiation can elevate the risk of cancer. Exposure to this can cause burns, radiation poisoning, acute radiation sickness, and death. So, what really blew me away about this little page, though, is that they actually act as if it's not that big of a deal. Like, we don't really know that much about it. And I think that is one of the biggest crimes of the nuclear industry is that they have not spent any money or any real time. Since they drummed John Goffman and Arthur Tamplin out of the industry, they basically have ignored their responsibility to figure out what these things do. You know, I'm going to repeat this because not very many people know this, but I think this was a shocking fact that I discovered when I was doing some research into the toxicity of nuclear radiation. You know how the IAEA always says that that the radiation exposure, you don't get cancer for at least 5 years. You're not going to get sick. Well, because Chernobyl showed us that they didn't see any cancers at all for 5 years coming out of Chernobyl. Well, the really dirty little secret about that is, for 5 years, the International Atomic Energy Agency refused to let the World Health Organization go to Chernobyl. So the reason they didn't see cancer is because they weren't looking. I mean, it is an astounding fact. It's the same philosophy that happened with the Japanese people. And I would be remiss if I did not discuss Hiroshima and Nagasaki and the crimes against humanity that happened to the Japanese people at the end of World War II. Because not only did our country bomb Nagasaki and Hiroshima unnecessarily, but our government did not track the victims. If you look at the victims of how many people died, they are grossly underestimated. You look at the effects of it, the after effects, they are grossly underestimated. And because of the culture in Japan, they just went along with it and said nothing. You know, the United States government summarily sent soldiers in to help with the cleanup, and they too were exposed to radiation, and those soldiers have been denied that the radiation caused any ill effects. On the Hiroshima Day in Eugene, Oregon, there's kind of a large Japanese community here for being a small town, and every year they do this sort of like a festival. It's kind of bizarre. I find it really odd. They do traditional Japanese dancing. They have a geisha who does some performances. It's really quiet, really mellow. At the end of the day, they light a candle on the little river and they send it off to bring good spirits, I guess. But I've been dumbfounded since Fukushima happened that they have not turned that into more of a movement to stop the Fukushima lies. And when I went to the organization who actually puts this thing on every year, they said, "Oh, no. We don't want to talk about Fukushima. We want this to be a positive event because we're about positive outcomes, and you know, we just don't want to bring any negativity to this event." Well, that's, you know, it's kind of like a woman who's living with a batterer saying that she's not going to really pay attention to the black eye that she's got because she wants to focus on the positive aspects of the relationship. It's completely astounding to me. So we have our work cut out for us. And I do plan on, in the next few months, really gathering information on what these things do to us so we can be specific. I mean, a lot of people understand some of the things that we can do to help ourselves stay healthy during, really, not just during, but for perpetuity, because the age of fission isn't going away, folks. It's here. So we have to learn how to change our habits while we can. I mean, I personally believe that the economy is going to collapse pretty soon. Who knows? I just don't think they can keep pushing the balloon up in the air for very long. So, but when that happens, we're going to have the earthquake. It's going to shake. And then we'll still be here. We're going to have to figure out a way to make it, and we will make it, and I really believe we will make it. Just like the Japanese people are making it. They're so freaking brave. It's unbelievable. After World War II, our government sent our soldiers in. Those soldiers were denied for a long time any help from radiation exposure. Our government went in and took all these measurements, took all these photographs, and then you know what they did? They destroyed all of the information on women and children. True. They only kept the just like they did in the Marshall Islands, they only kept the information in on the men. And there is a very specific reason for that. They only kept the information on men because women and children are most grotesquely affected internally by radiation. Children get cancer immediately. Children get skin rashes and just really uncomfortable side effects that last for a long time. They get endocrine problems. They can't reproduce. They get, you know, we've all seen the genetic mutation pictures, the extra limbs, the weird, you know, the children that come out really who can't survive. And that's the reason that they basically destroyed it all, because they're like, well, if we don't tell anybody, no one will know. And that's exactly what's happening. That's kind of been their MO ever since they discovered the age, ever since we came into the age of fission, as Thomas Ackerman said. I think he said it was 1938. It's the age of fission. As soon as they learned how, as soon as they invented, they actually invented this, these isotopes. These were inventions. And they are not natural. They are not supposed to be on our planet. And there's a reason why ancient civilizations stayed away from them, because life on our planet does not thrive with radiation, as we all know. So, oh wow, I have a phone caller. So let's see if I can actually do this. Hold on just a second, folks. Hold on. Please be patient. I hope it doesn't hang up. Well, let's see if this works. I'm making a major valiant effort to do this. So here we go. Good morning. You're on UCY.TV with Lonnie Clark.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
I thought I'd break the ice.
Who is it?
This is Ackerman.
Well, hi, Ackerman. You don't have enough time on the radio, I know.
I know. I thought I'd break the ice.
Yeah, you taught me how to answer this phone call-in thing. Thank you so much for calling in.
All right. So the ice is broken. You had a call, and can I make one comment?
Yes, I want you to.
Okay. I think I mentioned this to you when you were interviewing me, that I feel we're in phase two. It's interesting your radio program starts at this time. I think it's significant. And, you know, the idea of acceptance, that we're in a situation unequivocally, no matter what anybody says, we don't need the information on that. We've got it all. So I think the next level is like a commitment, and especially among the people that are convinced about this. I think that's the next phase. It's a level of commitment now to this, to what we're in, the age of fission. We're in the age of fission. We can't go back from it. So now we need that level of commitment. And
I think we also need people to actively engage to stop them from perpetrating more harm on our planet. Like one of the things I talked about, I put out a quick video last night. You know, I'm reading an article on my YouTube channel called The Safety of Nuclear Power by Dr. Arthur Weinberg. He's a nuclear propagandist from 1972. And one of the things we really need to do is stop them. I am decided, you know how we have until September 8th, you know, the idea of the NRC changing the format to the idea of hormesis that's coming on. I think we talked about that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about? And to the listeners who aren't aware, the NRC is thinking about changing. Right now we have a standard with radiation exposures where they measure how much is safe and how much isn't. What they're going to be doing is changing it to say that really, unless we see any real harm, we're going to assume that radiation, low levels of radiation, will protect us from high levels of radiation. So they're not going to be monitoring it in the same manner. They want to say that hormesis is actually possible with nuclear radiation. So
I bet that hormesis will work for probably 15 or 20 years. They're going to be right that long. And then after that, well, it'll be a lot shorter than that. But anyway.
Well, hormesis does not work. John Goffman and Arthur Tamplin 100% unequivocally proved that hormesis is impossible with nuclear radiation, man-made nuclear radiation. It's not possible. It is a known impossibility. They know this, and it's. But the reason that if you read why the NRC says they want to do it, the last thing it says is because of Fukushima. Like, they list a few reasons, but mostly it's because of Fukushima, meaning they can't stop the radiation coming out of Fukushima. They really have not spent the time or the money, and their little pea brains can't figure out how to bury the thing. So I think what they're doing is bracing us for the fact that we're going to have nonstop radiation, and we need to just accept the idea that maybe it might be good for us.
And people see, don't understand, I guess, or do and don't want to understand that radiation isn't from one day to the next. It's cumulative over a longer period of time. So they can spin this tale for, like I say, probably maybe 5 more years on some level. So
that's true. And actually, we're hitting the 5-year mark in Fukushima, you know, which means, but, you know, one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to create a petition. I'm going to. When you make comments to the NRC, you have to have a specific format. Otherwise, they don't even acknowledge it. So I'm going to create at the top of the letter, at the top of the petition, the exact format that will get it through. I'm going to create a petition and walk around my neighborhood, my little town here, different parts of the town. And I am going to get 100 signatures at least on this petition.
That's a great idea, and I just thought I'd call in and see if it actually works so people can call in and carry on, Warrior Lonnie Clark.
Thank you, Thomas, for calling in. I really appreciate your support.
We'll talk soon. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that was really interesting, you guys. I thought that was great. Thank you, Thomas, for calling in. So that is one of the things that I was just about to talk about, is the idea that we can take it back, but it's going to take us to make the extra effort. So I'm going to be creating a petition when summer school is out. Many of you know I'm in summer school. When summer school is out and I'll have a little bit of time in the next few weeks, I'm going to make a petition, and I am going to walk around various parts of Eugene, and I will get 100 signatures. And if 100 signatures is relatively easy, I'm going to bump it up to 150 and then 150 to 200. We have until September 8th to submit our comments to the NRC to demand that they do not change the way that we measure the radiation. It's very important. Yay, we have another caller. So hold on just one second. Good morning. This is Lonnie Clark. You're on the Age of Fission radio show. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, Lonnie. This is Vince. How are you?
Hi, Vince. Really good to talk to you. I'm doing great.
You too. I am really enjoying your program. It's been a great week. You did such a great job with Kevin's show, and then you just came in and just took and made this your own. You're just doing a wonderful job. And I wanted to call in and say hi and to share some of your information where you can be contacted at. I know you're on YouTube at Nuts for Art, and that's
right.
With a Z.
Yeah.
And Facebook, Lonnie Clark. And I don't believe you have a website up except for right here at ucy.tv/AOF for Age of
Fission. I don't have a website. I actually did get I did purchase the domain name, theageoffission.com.info.net. And frankly, I'm in summer school. So this radio show came about pretty quickly, and I had no intention of doing it. It came about just kind of as an off idea when I was offered to me, the time was offered to me while I substituted for Kevin. And I thought, yeah, I'll do it. But so I have not really had time to really, it hasn't been like a planned event. Oh, I'm going to do the radio show. It's all just been sort of spontaneous. It will grow into something. And I really do want to have an active web page. My idea for the web page is kind of interesting, because what I want to do is have it be interactive so people can post their ideas, like this idea that I have to do the petition, for example, right? Right now, my only venue to really post my petition will be on my YouTube channel at Nuts for Art. If people want to get in touch with me, you can contact me at Gmail, nutsforart@gmail.com. That's my Gmail email address. So people can get in touch with me there, and we can put our heads together. My idea is sort of multifaceted. I want to encourage people to really, I think if people really embrace living and really embrace their own power and understand that it's all not lost, that we will come up with ideas that will resolve this. I don't know. It seems like an impossible task, but guess what? Lots of things in life seem impossible. So it doesn't mean that we
can't. And it's very important to continue dialogue on all the ills of the world, because if we don't, we're giving up and then we're defeated. I remember 20-something years ago, not very many people knew about, some of the stuff we know today. And about 4 years ago when I came onto the Internet, I was very surprised to find so many people becoming aware of the system of the world. So we are moving forward towards the other end of that fulcrum where we can get off the bottom. And
it's true. Well, this is exactly why the powers that be are fighting back, Vince, because they know that I like to say that people aren't asleep anymore. People are aware. They just don't feel the power, and that has to speak to the social engineering of making people feel defeated, like there's nothing we can do. And
it's so multifaceted, and from what we take, you've heard that, you are what you eat. Well, what we consume actually literally just makes us who we are. So when, as a population, we're consuming all this processed foods with all the poisons involved in the processing and the growing. So, we're really disadvantaged as far as, population of a whole. But without, like I said, without continually talking about this, people, and don't think for a minute it doesn't make a difference. I'll tell you what, I've noticed, because I'm the type of person that doesn't shut up. For those of you that know me, you know this. Some people are still doubtful on some things, but I see that pause, that that kind of a dawning that, I see something to what is actually being said about this. So just never give up your voice and keep fighting, and
I like to say, I don't believe, I guess I'm the eternal optimist and the complete pacifist. I think we need to give up the language of war, and I think that's been one of the most harmful things that we've attached ourselves to over millennium. And I think it has to do with the Queen of England and the whole idea that war is the way to conquer. We don't need to give up the fight. We need to be determined to live. And that means that we are going to survive, I don't know if you've ever been in sales, but if you want to make a sale, you don't hear the word no. And you just keep going, and you just do not hear the word no. And when someone says no to you, it just means, okay, there's a yes somewhere in the deal. There has to be, if you have a product, like our product is life. And at this point, people have been soured on it because, like you said, that we are what we eat. We've been eating stuff that really dulls our brain, dulls our body, makes our intestines not work. And so as we shake that off and eat fresh vegetables, fresh food, really get down to what humans really thrive on and get back to it, I think people will find their power. And the emotional, I'm kind of really big on not name calling too, because I think it really matters what we say to each other. So
What I'd like to add too is if you don't know about weeds, you get a lot of nutrients from weeds and a lot of medicinal qualities from different herbs. If a person doesn't know about that, I'd find somebody that does. There's plenty of social networking now where you can just search on whatever.
On weeds, like what are you doing? Expand on that? That's an interesting concept. What are you talking about?
Well, specifically, I took allergy pills for a number of years, and I would swell up my tongue. I'd go to the hospital and get an IV and stuff, and so I started eating stinging nettle. Actually, it's the variety here that I eat is horse nettle. I haven't taken an allergy pill in many years. There's cockaburros or burdock, and you can boil the cockaburros and make a tea. That's good for inflammation. I used to get poison ivy my whole life. I eat a little bit of poison ivy a few times a year, a little tiny baby leaf, swallow it down in a gulp of water. I can literally roll in poison ivy. I don't get it. So
really?
Yes. There's a plant for everything. And, that's what modern science and medicine, they go in and try to manipulate these qualities found in nature and synthesize them out of petroleum. And then address the symptom instead of the cause. So,
right. Well, there's a great book
called... In nature, there's correlation to the cause and the correction. There's a word I really don't like, and that's cure. People talk about curing cancer. Well,
right.
You're not curing cancer. You're correcting the environment in which it lives.
Right,
so if it has an environment that's not conducive for its life, then it's not going to strive, or thrive. It's going to die. So, and that goes with anything. Inflammation, arthritis, diabetes, and going back to what we consume. That's
really big information.
Problem.
I know I took dandelion root tincture to help heal my kidneys, and when I was 37, I had severe arthritis and I went to go see an alternative healer because I was a complete physical mess. I mean, I just had really severe menstrual problems. I was losing my hair. I couldn't even lift my arm to my shoulder. My hands were all swollen. And the doctors, they were scratching their head. They're like, "You're young. You shouldn't be this sick." There was really nothing wrong, quote, wrong with me. So I went to go see this alternative healer. And, he's a kinesiologist. It looked like voodoo. Started tapping on my head. He gave me enzymes, told me to get off of chemicals. And honestly, I was cured of arthritis 100% within 2 years. After the first 2 to 3 treatments, my menstrual cycles were completely corrected. My hair started growing back. So I have been a big, gigantic proponent of alternative and natural healing for a long time because, like, my own daughter used to have hay fever. And I don't know what, she went to go see the kinesiologist, and in one treatment, she was cured of having hay fever. So there are cures out there. That the AMA, and frankly, there's a great book about the AMA called Death by Medicine. And it has been we are basically assets on a balance sheet. And that's really it's out, And so it's time for us to decide that we are worth it and that the system, a lot of people support the system because they're afraid that what will happen if we do all these things, then what? What will happen? Well, we'll create something else. It's like I made that analogy about the earthquake, right? The system gets shooken up, but sometimes we need it to get shook up. And sometimes that after that aftermath, that's when the progress is really, really made. So that's what this show's going to be about. And I have to say, I really, really appreciate your input on this, the radio show today, because the information you just gave is completely critical to people who are suffering, going in and out of the standard Western medicine routine.
Yes, it's sick care, and there's nothing to do with health. Like you said, it's just maintaining, a capital on people, and that's all we are. It's just, cattle for the whole system. I know this sounds, it's not really going to add up for some people. That makes sense. People think they're free, but...
call ourselves their assets. They view us as, in fact, they refer to us as assets. That's the ironic part. When you're reading some of these journals, they refer to the assets, and what they're talking about is human life. And I think since the Queen of England, wandered around the world and destroyed the Peruvian culture and the whole South American culture, those were her assets also. The unfortunate part for them is slavery is now illegal. So they've had.
Yeah, well, not really. It was actually legalized after the Civil War, and there's many powers that there were empires in competition. But pretty much, even though there appears to be we appear to be at odds with Russia and China and stuff, I think there's nothing that's going to happen that they don't want to happen. We're not going to have war unless they need to make some more planes and bombs and that, and make some more money off that, and control some population or eliminate somebody that's moving, a leader that's moving away from the petrodollar, as we've seen in the Middle
East.
Right. And so it's the powers have shifted. I think it wears many faces, and the people that are in control, they have no nationality. They're not loyal. I mean, even the Queen of England is
sure.
German. So they're different powers. Right now we're looking at the corporate power of the United States, the military power, and basically with the Zionist agenda that sets the whole world's what happens for the whole world, where we're going towards. It's not even that Israel is like some special country that needs defending. I think it was set up there just for a power base. And
I agree with that. I agree, and I've had some of my Jewish family members.
Than I am.
It's true. Some of my Jewish family members won't speak to me because I basically said that. I don't think it was made by God. It was made by man. And actually, it was made by the industrial military complex to have a little
Absolutely.
input in. And it's been evident. If you just look at the facts, that's what they've done. That's how they are. And really, it's kind of shocking how people in the world have. Oh, dear. Are you still there, Vince?
I am.
Okay, well, we have a call calling in. Do you mind if I add someone into this conversation?
No, I'll get off. It was very, very nice to talk to you, Lonnie, and I
Thank
really
you
enjoyed what
so
you're
much.
doing, and I'm going to
Really
go back
great
to
to
the
talk to
listen.
you. Thanks. Bye
Thanks. Bye-bye.
bye.
Hello?
Hi. You're on the radio with Lonnie Clark at UCY.TV. Who am I speaking with?
This is bystander witness.
I beg your pardon?
Hello?
Hi, this is
Hi.
Lonnie.
Hi. Who is this?
This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission. Who am I speaking
Oh.
with?
You are speaking with Arthur. I go by bystander witness on YouTube, and I
Oh, well,
mostly
nice to meet
comment
you,
on stuff.
Arthur. Nice to meet you. And what do you have on your mind? Because obviously our conversation might have sparked you.
Oh, I've been sparked way back since Chernobyl when I was a child on that side of the planet back then. But I found my niche, my crowd, my people. You guys are my people. Kevin is the main inspiration that I'm hanging on to here, actually, to speak of. Amazing inspiration now. Any other inspiration that I'd hung on to were all passed away, and I found the live one, honestly, to speak. And I love him. I love his project. And I love everything that you do to help him. And you are an amazing person yourself, also.
Well, thank you for saying that. So, look,
Yes. Go ahead.
were you saying that your family is from Chernobyl? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I was born and raised in Armenia about 14, 15 years. And then I moved here, family moved here. So I came along with them to the United States. So
Wow.
Armenia is about maybe 1,000. No more, that's too many miles actually. It's, you're very close by, and we did get, downwind, whatever they
Yeah.
call it.
Well, do you mind if I ask you, has anybody in your family been impacted negatively from the radiation from there? Because the IAEA has led us to believe that life just went on and nobody was harmed and it was just perfectly fine.
Oh no, these commissions, these agencies, these corporation board people, and all those business-minded people—they all made a business out of life. That nothing matters to them. Nothing of life of essence matters to them. So they can say all they want and all the opposite they want. It's not going to matter. I mean, that is absolute wrong in these crooked times. Yeah, it's very, very,
So were people in your family
anticipated.
affected? Was anyone in your family affected by the accident at Chernobyl?
Not that I know of. My family pretty much is the only survivors is my parents, me, my auntie, and my little brother as of today here in anywhere on the planet actually. And my grandfather from my father's side died from lung cancer, but I believe that was associated with more cigarettes and the industrial age in Russia than anything else.
Well, that's the hard part,
Yeah.
isn't it? It's kind of the unknown. We really don't know who.
Oh no, I have encountered multiple people from my country, from Georgia, from Ukraine, from Russia, from Moscow when I traveled there a lot. And I have asked before when I was a young child, and most of them, all cancer, they're pretty much cancer stricken of all forms, of
Wow.
all different kinds. Whoever was exposed, those that I found out were from there.
Well, you know what?
Yeah.
This is my thing. Cancer is not a death sentence, as we've seen with Kevin, although he's gone through the treatment through the AMA. If I ever get cancer, if I ever would get cancer, I don't think I'd trust the AMA. I would try alternative healings first. There's a really great
Yeah.
book called Healthy Healing, and it was written by Dr. Linda Richter Page. She actually got breast cancer and refused to go through the radiation. Because she saw what
Wow.
happened to her patients. She went to Mexico and got alternative healing, and was cured 100%, came back and wrote
Wow.
this book called Healthy Healing, and it is a really awesome book. I share the link often on my YouTube channel, but are you in the States now?
Yeah, I am in Los Angeles. I stay among 15 million people, probably one or maybe two more people like me around here somewhere. But that's it. Everybody else
there.
Is.
You know, L.A. is my home. You know, that's where I'm from. I'm from Los Angeles. So.
Oh, that is so sweet.
Yeah, I know. I came up to Oregon kicking and screaming, but I've adjusted. I've been here 10 years. So, but look, one of the things I really do want to encourage people to do is when I get the petition going on, because you're in L.A., you could actually have an instrumental impact in this.
Absolutely. I am going to take care of the petition and also go to the website you provided for a call to action. Video
I will look for it in about a week and a half. I'm finishing up summer school. We're going off to Crater Lake and be identifying plants all weekend long. And then next week I have my field reports to turn in, and then I'm done, and then I can do the petition and start really actively being engaged with this. So.
Absolutely, yeah. Don't strain yourself, Lonnie. I've been watching every video, every chapter you read from Goffman and Templin's book, and this one too right now, and all in between. Take your time. It's fine. We're all here,
at least me, myself,
and those who are concerned.
That was a really amazing book, wasn't it? I was really...
Yeah.
There was so much
astounding
information.
To me.
That one of the things that I really... And this is the reason I put it up on Creative Commons, is so that... other people can take it and digest it and take information from it and make it into their own, because that's one of my projects that I want to do during the fall time when I'm taking the fall off, is to actually go through those videos and grasp some of that information. Like it's shocking. I think I was shocked by much of that information. So I really appreciate your phone call. Can you tell me your name again?
My name Arthur. I go by name. It's my real name, and I go by Bystander Witness on YouTube.
Bystander
I've talked
Witness.
To Kevin quite a few times, yeah.
Bystander Witness. Well, thank you so much for calling in.
You are welcome.
And
congratulations on your radio show.
Thank you. Thank you so much, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Absolutely. I wish that your wishes come true. Thanks.
They will. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. Well, that was really sweet. We got three phone calls on our first day of call-ins on our Friday call-in show. And this is exactly what I want. I want to share information. I mean, we got some super valuable information just out of a few people. And what I'm hoping we can do is bring this information and make it active. And, you know, I think that the people that are in the nuclear industry who refuse to stop regurgitating the lies, who go by the 90% rule, you know, I think that they're going to get their courage. And I think that as they see the catastrophic events of their complicity with the system that is killing the planet, I really believe that within the next year or two, we're going to see scientists and people in the media breaking away from just the complicity. When I refer to the 90% rule, this is what it means. John Goffman studied the Japanese people after World War II when he realized that the military had destroyed all their documents on the women and children after the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. He studied them for 20 years, and what he discovered was that the atomic energy industry, which was then called, I forget, the AEC, Atomic Energy Commission. I don't think that was the right name, but it was something like that. They renamed themselves because everybody hates them. It was the Atomic Energy Commission. And the United States military basically destroyed all the information on the women and children, and from then on underreported the negative effects of radiation by 90%. That's right, folks, 90%. And they flat out deny that radiation causes any real harm, which is exactly what they do anytime there's any catastrophic event at any nuclear power plant. They just deny. It's like a standard. They have this standard flat statement, no harm to human health. And so when I read that, I decided to call it the 90% rule, because it encapsulates the whole deception. So... And I encourage people to start using these phrases, because like the age of fission, This is why I named the radio. When Ackerman came up with that name in one of his videos, I thought, wow, that is exactly where we're at, because there's no going back. We're here. This is it. And, you know, as our listeners shared with us, there are things we can do. As Vince said, we can take herbs. We can the plants that we've been spraying with, what's that called, Roundup, the worst thing you can ever put on a plant. You know, those plants are important for us. It's important for us to learn plant identification and learn, you know, these plants were put on this earth. We are in symbiosis with the earth. And for us to turn our back on that is destruction. And so it's kind of ironic that the pharmaceutical industry created, the chemical industry created Roundup, which really, if you have an organic compound, like one of the things you can do is buy microbes at like seed stores. And I will actually, you know, probably next Friday I'll bring this out. I need to get my homework done before I can actually do some research on this. But there are some seed stores where you can buy organic seeds and you can go online. And you can buy a little jar of microbes, and you put like 2 tablespoons of microbes, 1/4 cup of molasses, and some water. And you have to let the water sit. If you're going to use tap water, you have to let the water sit for 24 hours because it's got chlorine in it. So you have to let the water sit for 24 hours. You have the molasses and the microbes. You can put it on any plant, and it will make the plant super sprout, even if it's been on a non-organic plot. And it takes 3 years for the Roundup to go away. It will eventually turn back into an organic plot, but it takes about 3 years of no chemicals, no pesticides. And honestly, you know, I didn't know that information before I moved to Eugene. There is a marvelous woman, a very dear friend of mine named Charlotte Anthony. She's now in India helping some Indian farmers. She's living, I think, in southern India, helping them take their lands back from the GMO perpetrators over there. We've all heard those horror stories of Indian farmers killing themselves because they can't make a living, and the GMO plants, and just the attack on the Indians, the native people in India. The whole country of India is under attack by the nuclear industry. They're about to start building a nuclear power plant. They were trying to force the government to say it was illegal to have non-GMO seeds. People were killing themselves. People fought back, and they changed that. So now she's over there helping them learn how to take their land back from the GMO perpetrators, is what I call them. And she taught me about this thing about the microbes. And she's the person who's taught me a lot about how to garden, how to farm, what to look at. You know, before I came to Oregon, I never had eaten anything off of a plant ever. So we have another phone call. And hold on just 1 second. Good morning. You're on the radio with Lonnie Clark at the Age of Fission. Hello? Oh, they hung up, or we got disconnected. So let me go back to talking to you about this idea that we have about taking it back. Charlotte Anthony is like one of the best people, a really great example. She used to be a chiropractor, and she gave up that life to live on a farm she loves with the earth and the plants. Here's our caller. Let me try one more time. Good morning. You're on the radio with Lonnie Clark in the Age of Fission.
Hello, Lonnie. How are you doing this morning?
Lars, nice to meet you. I'm doing quite good. What's going on?
Good. Hey, this is somebody in a chat room named Road. Hey, listen, what I'm doing is, if you can, could you post your email address? I'd like to send you a list of what not to eat. It's a 6-year study.
Great.
I'm packing on moving right now, and I packed everything away, and I don't have a pen. So if you could post that in the chat room, I could just email you this list.
The chat room on UCY.TV?
I can't.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Okay. On the chat room on UCY.TV or on my – do you know about my YouTube channel?
No, go ahead and do it in the chat room because that way I could just open that link up and then I'll just send you that list real quick.
Okay, well, my email address is really easy. I have a YouTube channel called Nuts for Art, NutzForArt, Nuts for Art. And it's nutsforart@gmail.com. That's my email address. But I will put a link. I'll try to – I'm not really clear. I've never really participated in the chat room. So, but I will make an effort to look after the show's over, and I'll make an effort to post it because that's a great idea. That's a – thank you for making that suggestion because that's a good way for all of us to link in together.
Sure, so, yeah.
Do you have any – do you want to tell us an off-the-cuff thing? I can tell you what I call the Cavorting.
The problem is I must have a bad connection right now because I can't hardly hear a word that you're saying.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you want –
I mean, it's like we're talking tin can with a string with a knot in it.
Oh, that's not good. That's not good. Do you want to –
no.
Well, you know, do you want to hang up and try to call back, or you just want to keep going? Because I can hear you.
Well, no, let's just keep going. But like I said, you're the best way to do that with me is, since I'm packing on moving and everything, I don't have a pen or anything, if you could post it, I'll open that link up and then mail it to you, and you could look it over.
Do you have anything, do you know any of those foods off the top of your head?
Can you repeat that, please?
Can you list any of those off the top of your head?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, most people know them anyway, but there's some there that a lot of people don't know about. They haven't read their history on what these ingredients are.
Right.
You know,
have you ever heard of, I call it the Kevorkian Four. Have you ever heard of that?
The Kevorkian what?
The Kevorkian Four. There's four things that you should not ever eat if you want to live to be healthy. The first Kevorkian.
No, I haven't heard of that, but this list here I got is basically a full page.
Wow.
On Microsoft Word.
Wow. Well, these are basically, let me go through the four because it's really, they're short and simple. One of them is lard. Even cockroaches will not eat lard. You should not eat anything that is packaged with chemicals or processing in it if you can help it. Anything that has a name longer than you can read is not food.
Right.
You should not be eating pork products or, you know, cured pork products because that stuff is it's laden with all kinds of preservatives and unhealthy food, and shellfish.
Right, yeah, I understand all that. I mean, I know you understand it, I understand it, but a lot of people don't.
Right, and this is why I like to use the word the Kevorkian Four, because it's very simple. You know, the thing about the shellfish, now this happened long before Fukushima, so you don't want to eat anything that's a bottom feeder at all. And, you know, I think now we need to eliminate anything from the Pacific Ocean. But so, look, tell me your name again.
Just call me Road Dog.
Okay, Road Dog. Well, thank you so much for calling in. I'm going to hang up. We have about a minute left on the radio. I really appreciate your participation. And I will put my contact number in the chat room.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, thank you, UCY.TV radio listeners. This was kind of an exciting show. We actually got several people calling in and contributing. And this is really my idea. I'm super thrilled over this today because there are many, many people that have lots of great information. And we sound like we're voiceless, but we are not voiceless. We all have our own power. And the point of the age of 50 is to empower us all.